I of the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where a prayer meeting had been held. And we're told that he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to his brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Last week in our study of this portion of Scripture, and indeed this particular prayer meeting, we, through the Scriptures, were able to attend that prayer meeting, as it were, just one of the many prayer meetings that were held in Jerusalem when Peter had been imprisoned. And while there we were reminded through Scripture that God answers prayer. And in so doing, he shows that he can surprise us with his answers. The Lord had evidently surprised his people in the house there of Mary as they had gathered for prayer. And they were surprised because of the suddenness of the answer. The answer came unexpectedly, which is, in a sense, amazing, because they were gathered praying, and surely they expected the Lord to answer. But nevertheless, the answer came unexpectedly. They didn't expect the answer to come to them just so soon. Now, while sometimes the Lord delays his answers, as Andrew Bonner says, that he might keep us longer in his presence. But then there are other times when the answer comes soon and it comes suddenly. We are thankful for those times when the Lord comes, as it were, suddenly to his temple. Well, on this occasion, in answer to prayer, the Lord came suddenly to the prison. He came suddenly to the prison where Peter lay in answer to prayer. So the Lord had surprised his people by the suddenness of the answer, and I believe also by the scale of the answer. Sometimes when we petition the Lord about a particular matter, we would maybe be satisfied if the Lord were to answer part of the prayer, part of the petition. We would say, Lord, I'm happy if you could just take care of this particular matter. But when he gives us a complete and comprehensive answer, then maybe we are surprised. That's what the Lord did in answer to prayer for the church in Jerusalem and to those gathered in Mary's house. Those gathered there were surprised that the Lord had answered prayer, and they were surprised by the scale. Think of it again. Peter had been arrested. Herod was on his way to take Peter out of prison and to slay him, as he had done with James. But there was Peter in prison, chained to two soldiers, one on either side. 16 soldiers were given the task of making sure that Peter did not escape. He was in his prison, whatever it was, a cell. The gate was locked. Soldiers were outside the door. There were two other doors to get through, as well as the outer gate of the prison that led into the street. Now you would say that's impossible. To get past all of those soldiers, to be released from the chains that bound him, to be out, get out through the doors that were locked and outside the outer gate. You say that's impossible. And I think that's what surprised the church in Jerusalem, was the scale of the answer. Because the Lord did all of these things for Peter in answer to their prayers. And we have so often said, when we gather to seek the Lord's face in prayer, there is no telling what the Lord may do for us in answer to prayer. He will, no doubt, as He always does, go beyond what we ask for. And I believe in many ways the Lord went beyond in a greater scale to what the church had been praying for. They, no doubt, were praying the Lord would spare Peter's life. But lo and behold, He not only spared his life, but brought him out of prison and brought him back to his own people in the house there of Mary. So I want to consider this tonight. For if in the first place God revealed himself as the God of surprises, He also showed himself to be the God of miracles. And that's what we want to look at tonight. This great miracle, because it cannot be described in any other way, as the miraculous workings of Jehovah in releasing Peter from prison. So here we have the God of miracles. And that is where we will begin tonight. We'll look at the prayer and the miracle concerning Peter. How else may this be explained? But that in answer to prayer, God wrought a miracle. Consider first of all the reaction. The reaction to Peter being released from prison by the Lord. I feel that all who were involved in this rescue of Peter were surprised by the miraculous workings of Jehovah. Consider the reaction, yes, the reaction first of all of Peter himself, the reaction of the apostle. For the Holy Spirit records a number of things about Peter, which indicate to us that he had witnessed a miracle. Look at verse 9. And he went out and followed him, that is, followed the angel, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. He wist not what was done. He just couldn't believe it. He couldn't understand. He couldn't explain it, what was done by the angel. That's in verse 9. But look at verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, the same word or phrase is used with regard to the prodigal son, who left his father's house and went into a far country and spent all his living, all that he had in riotous living. And when he was brought low and he ended up in the fields eating the husks that were given to the swine, it says that he came to himself. In other words, he came to his senses. And he thought about how the servants in his father's house were well fed, and here he was, the son of the man who owned the house, and he was feeding on the husks that were fed to the swine. And he came to himself, he came to his senses, and it says here, and when Peter was come to himself, he was come to his senses. He couldn't understand what had taken place. He couldn't explain it. But look again at verse 12. And it says, and when he had considered the thing. So there's Peter. First of all, he wist not that it was true, which was done. And then it says, when he was come to himself. And then when he considered the whole thing. You can see that Peter was surprised, taken in, overcome, as it were, by what the Lord had done in answer to prayer. He had seen a miracle. Now, Peter, of course, being one of the Lord's disciples, and had been with the Lord for 3 or more years, he had witnessed the Lord working many miracles. But here Peter is surprised at this particular miracle. This one surprised him, took him by surprise. And this shows that when God answers prayer, he is able to go beyond all that even he has done for us before. Whatever the Lord has done for us before in answer to prayer, the Lord is able to go beyond that again. And as well as that, the Lord is able to answer prayer in such a way that it goes far beyond our expectations. This shows that what the Lord has done for us in answer to prayer in the past is able even to do far more in the future. For as Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Now we know we don't have any power of our own, but it is the power of the Lord working in us, and working in us through prayer. And so, believer, take to heart those words. "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." That's what he did for the church in Jerusalem. That's what he did for Peter. And of course, when others witnessed the miracle working power of God on other occasions, they were just as surprised. You turn there to Mark chapter 7. And we read in Mark 7 and verse 35. "And looking up," verse 34, "and looking up to heaven, he sighed," that is the Lord, "and said, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened." This was a man who was deaf and dumb. "Straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain." Notice that. This man didn't have to learn to speak. Here was an adult man who from the day he was born couldn't hear and could not speak. And the Lord loosed the string of his tongue so that he was able to hear and he was able to speak. Now under normal circumstances, that man would have to learn to speak. But lo and behold, we're told the Lord loosed his tongue and he spake plain. That's a miracle. "And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." They were astonished. They had seen a miracle. The church in Jerusalem was astonished. The church had seen a miracle. The believers in Mary's house were astonished. They had witnessed a miracle. What God had done in the way he had brought Peter out of prison. Would this not encourage us to pray? Because we just don't know what miracle the Lord will do in answer to our prayers. That's the reaction of the apostle. But look at the reaction of the assembly. Those who had gathered for prayer in Mary's house, we're told many were gathered together praying. And that assembly of praying believers were just as astonished as Peter was at what had taken place. Look again, verse 14. Peter has come and he's knocking on the door. Rhoda goes to the door. She recognizes Peter's voice. And when she knew Peter's voice, verse 14, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in, told how Peter stood before the gate. She was so overcome, so taken by surprise again at what had happened. There was Peter at the very door while they were praying. Look at verse 15. They said unto her, Thou art mad. This is the reaction of the assembly who met there for prayer. You can see they didn't believe it either. And you look again at verse 16. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Same reaction as those who had witnessed the Lord healing the man who was both deaf and dumb. They were astonished because they had seen a miracle. So the church in the house of Mary was also astonished. Why? Because they had seen a miracle. The Lord had brought Simon Peter out of the prison in answer to their prayers. You know, when something unexpected happens, and maybe it has happened to us, and somebody tells us, we say in response, I don't believe you. That can't be true. I don't believe you. Is that right? Well, that was the reaction of those in the house of Mary. They were more or less said, I don't believe you, Rhoda. You must be mad. But when they looked into the face of Peter, knowing the danger that he was in, we are told that they were astonished. Reminds me again of the reaction of others to a miracle the Lord wrought back in Mark chapter 5 and verse 42. The Lord has just raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And we read in verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of an age of 12 years. Listen. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Why were they astonished? They had witnessed a miracle. The Lord had raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead. The church in the house of Mary was astonished. Why? In many ways, the Lord had raised Peter from the dead. He was as good as dead, being in prison, hemmed in, chained in, locked in. And the sword of Herod, not too far away, ready to fall upon Peter. And yet there he is, standing at the door. They had witnessed a miracle. And dear Christian, our God is still the God of miracles. Is there a family member who is dead in sin, far from God? And you say, it'll take a miracle to save that person, that loved one of mine. It'll take a miracle to save them and change them. Well, pray on. Because the one to whom you pray is the God of miracles. Someone is sick. and they're seriously ill. You say the same thing. It'll take a miracle to heal that person. We'll pray on. Because God is the God of miracles. And if it's His will, He'll raise that person and answer to prayer. Prayer of faith shall heal the sick. You take the man and his business is going down, teetering on the very verge of bankruptcy. And only a miracle will save that business. Well, then pray on. Because God is the God of miracles. And God answers prayer. So we have noticed the reaction. Look at the report. At last the praying saints did believe the words of Rhoda. And they eventually came to the door. And there seems to have been a great hullabaloo because Peter had to tell them to be quiet. Hold their peace. Verse 17. He then gives a first-hand account of what took place that night. For he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, and declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Peter had quite a story to tell. I'm sure Peter would tell that story over and over again. He had quite a story to tell, and you know it's always good to tell others about how the Lord has answered prayer. It is always good, it's only but right, that we should tell the story of the Lord answering prayer for us. That we'll be able to say to others, this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. Telling other people what we have prayed about and what we have prayed for and how the Lord has answered. We're giving God the glory when we do that and we encourage others then. Look closely at what the Lord did for Peter in answer to the prayers of God's people. First of all, the Lord defended Peter. If Peter told the whole story, then he would have told them that he faced the threat from Herod's sword, but the Lord defended him. Verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and he hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. Out of the hand of Herod. Peter was aware of that. He doesn't say that he delivered me out of the prison. He says he delivered me out of the hand of Herod. And so Peter was aware of the danger that his life was in. In the words of the psalmist, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Well, certainly the Lord gave his angels charge over Peter and kept him in all his ways that night. There was nothing that Herod or his cohorts could do to Peter. For the Lord was protecting and defending his servant. And remember, this was an answer to prayer. So how we need to pray for the protection of each other. This shows us how we need to pray for the protection of God's servants and God's people. And for the protection of our missionaries. And they're out in lands where people are murdered. You think of the murders that have taken place in Kenya. And even those associated with our missionary, Miss Margaret Russell. They've been murdered in cold blood. We need to pray for the protection of God's servants. Even as the saints in Mary's house prayed for Peter. And the Lord answered their prayers and defended or protected Peter. When Herod would have taken his life. Not only did the Lord defend Peter, but the Lord also delivered Peter. You look again at that verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me. Mark the word delivered. Delivered me out of the hand of Herod. You go down to verse 17, and he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Brought him out, had delivered him. You take that word deliver. Stephen used that word in Acts chapter 7. When Stephen was speaking about Israel, and we read in verse 34 of Acts 7, I have seen, and I have seen the affliction of my people, this is the Lord speaking, and Stephen's reporting this, seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come to deliver them. Same word. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. I am come down to deliver them. What did that word deliver mean to Israel? It meant deliverance from the house of bondage. It meant a great exodus, a great coming out, as we have it in verse 17 of Acts 12. And Peter spoke about how the Lord brought him out of the prison. The same terminology is used with regard to Israel. The Lord delivered Israel out of the house of bondage. He brought them out. Great accident. Well, here was the Lord delivering Peter. Here was Peter's exodus. He, if we might say, was delivered out of the house of bondage, a prison. And believer, when you think of it, was it not a great miracle of God when he brought Israel out of Egypt, whenever he divided the waters of the Red Sea? That was a miracle. And brought them through on dry ground. Brought them out of the house of bondage and brought the waters down again upon Pharaoh's pursuing chariots. It was a miracle. And a miracle the night that the Lord brought Peter out of prison. He's the God of miracles. It is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he will do for you. Next, in this verse 17, there is the request. After telling his story, Peter requested his story be told elsewhere. Verse 17, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And it says, and he departed and went into another place. But he says, go show these things unto James and the others. Tell it far and wide what the Lord has done for me in answer to prayer. It's interesting, he said, go and tell James. Show these things unto James and to the brethren. It would appear that James has become the leader of the work in Jerusalem. Because we read in Galatians 2 and verse 9. James is mentioned there, and he's mentioned even before Peter. In Galatians 2 and verse 9. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter and John. So James is mentioned first. Who seemed to be pillars, that is, pillars in the church, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. He's referring to James and John and Peter in Jerusalem. Look at the context, he's talking about Jerusalem. And James is mentioned first. And whenever Peter was released from prison, the Lord brought him out. He says, go and tell James and the brethren. It would appear that James was leader of the work in Jerusalem. God had answered prayer. Peter was out of prison. And it was good that they go and tell what the Lord had done and how he had wrought this great miracle. So we've already said, when God does things for us, it's good to tell others, to give him the glory. Because then that will encourage others to pray that he'll do a miracle for them. Finally, if we have the miracle concerning Peter, we have the mystery about Peter. It's quite a mystery. For those gathered in the house of Mary that night was a night of rejoicing and excitement and thanksgiving. The Lord had answered their prayers. But it was a very different scene in the place where Peter had been held prisoner. Very different indeed. You look there in verse 18. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers that was become what was become of Peter. You can just imagine what it was like. All those soldiers, locked prisons, locked gates, Peter chained. But he's nowhere to be seen. There was no small stir among the soldiers. There's the commotion. And my, there was quite a commotion in the prison. The soldiers were in a state of bewilderment as to what had happened to Peter. They could not understand how he had escaped. There was no small stir among the soldiers. You know what this emphasizes? It emphasizes to it just how complete the victory was. Peter was out, but as well as that, confusion amongst the soldiers. Confusion amongst the enemy. You know, we have been praying against this Bill 13. This iniquitous legislation that McGuinty's endeavouring to introduce into the schools. And we've been praying against that. But I've been praying something else. Not only will the Lord defeat this legislation, but that he will bring about a state of confusion amongst the Liberal MPs. That there'll be such a commotion there in Ottawa, they'll not know what to do. Here the Lord answered prayer for the believers and brought Peter out of prison, but the Lord didn't finish it there. The Lord didn't end there. He brought confusion amongst those who were guarding Peter, seeking to hold him in prison. And believer, that's how we need to pray. When we prevail in prayer, there's no telling what our God can do. And we need to pray that there be no small stir among the enemies of truth and righteousness. Because that's what it's all about. Standing up for truth and righteousness. Indeed, that's what happened when through Paul's ministry, the cause of truth and righteousness was advancing. For the same phrase is used in Acts 19. And there we read in Acts 19 and verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. But that didn't happen without a response from the devil's crowd. For then we read in verse 23. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way, that is Christ, the way of salvation. No small stir. The word of God grew and prevailed. The word was spreading through the ministry of Paul, and there was no small stir. And we're told there about Demetrius, a silversmith. My, he was angry because Paul had said there's only one true God, and that's the God of Israel. And here was Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines for Diana and had brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. And of course, Demetrius saw that his prophets would soon disappear if people believed there was only one God and rejected the handmade gods of Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen. There was no small stir. Doesn't this just show us how powerless the enemies of God are? What they can do against the truth of God and His righteousness? Nothing. Our God is marching on. And through Paul the work was spreading. The word of God grew mightily and prevailed. And there was no small stir among the enemies of truth and righteousness. Look then at the captive. Peter the captive had disappeared, and Herod himself came to the prison to put him to death. In verse 19 we discover when he arrived, and when Herod had sought for him, he found him not. He examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. So that shows us just how near Peter was, humanly speaking, how near he was to be put to death. Because it says in the verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, remember the people of God were praying, at the time, the moment that Herod would have brought him forth, we find that he eventually did arrive in verse 19. But Peter was gone. Divine intervention. The Lord had taken Peter out of the prison, and Herod arrived too late. See how the Lord protected Peter, defended him. The Lord never arrives too late. He always arrives on time. And remember, this was all because of the prayers of the people of God. Remember reading the story of a Christian lady who was exercised one night by the Lord to get out of her bed. And to get at the side of her bed and pray. And to pray for a particular missionary who was serving the Lord somewhere in Africa. She wondered why she was stirred to pray for that missionary at that particular time of the night. Later, in her correspondence with that particular missionary, she related to the missionary the experience she had had and how she had been stirred to get up in the middle of the night and pray for her. The missionary wrote back. The Christian lady had actually told the missionary that the night and the time she had got up and was praying for. And the missionary replied and told that it was exactly the same time that she had run across the path of a lion. And when the missionary related the story to the natives, they couldn't understand why the lion had not attacked her and killed her. It was at the same time that the Christian lady at home was praying. As Herod would have come and taken Peter and put him to death, it was at the same time God's people were praying. See what I mean? We need to pray for one another's protection. And you have then finally the command. Herod's command. And he commanded that they should be put to death. Here the Lord turned the tables. Remember, Peter was the one who was to be put to death. But through prayer, and God answered in a miraculous way, through prayer, the tables were turned. Peter's life was spared. And the keepers were put to death. There's something else there. You can see how angry Herod was that these keepers had failed to secure Peter. He was angry, he was mad, and he put these keepers to death. I'll tell you, when God answers prayer, it stirs up the devil. The devil doesn't like to hear about answers to prayer. And surely that in itself would encourage us to pray just to get at the devil. God is a God of miracles. Let us remember that even this week as we gather for prayer, that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's still the God of miracles. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord, we bless Thee for the wonderful, encouraging lessons we, Lord, are able to glean from Thy truth. For as Paul has told us, these things are written for our learning. Lord, may we learn much from this portion of Scripture. May we learn much, Lord, about the matter and the business of prayer. Oh, gracious God, there are those times in our lives when things happen. Problems and difficulties arise, and we say to ourselves, it'll take a miracle to deliver us out of this or to solve this problem. But Lord, we're glad that we believe in prayer. And the one to whom we pray to, He is indeed the God of miracles. And He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. O God, write Thy word upon our hearts. May it be an encouragement to us.